the Air Race Classic. How did they come up with that route? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Yesterday, I started a conversation with Kristen Jern, who with partner Maite Greco, competed in this year's Air Race Classic, an event which traces its roots to the Powder Puff Derby that provided the circumstances for the formation of the 99s. We'll wrap up that conversation today. Tell us about the course, because if you just look at it on the map, it's like, what did they do that for? I mean, a lot of early air races in aviation were designed either to pioneer a route, to get people accustomed to the idea from a marketing and commercial standpoint of that you could now fly from point A to point B, or to solve some specific logistic problem that industry had or something. But this one is kind of a jagged line. How were the stops on the route determined?
Well, the stops of the race are determined basically in which airports would like to host us and are willing to do so on a standpoint of people resources and also financial resources. The Air Race Classic is still a nonprofit organization, and most of everything that they accomplish is by sponsorship or the fees of entrance to compete in the race. So they always follow a guide where the race needs to be approximately 2,400 statute miles in length. So they look on the map, and if there's an airport that volunteers to be the start, then they focus on finding a terminus airport, and then they build the route in between. It's also taken into consideration they try to build it to where we're not going through too many Bravo airspaces, of which means larger international airports and things like that, because we would have to adhere to normal traffic procedures, and this is a race. So they try to keep us where we're in a lot of uncontrolled airspace, if you will.
Okay, I was going to say the marketing angle to this too. I mean, if there was an advantage to a sponsor in participating, it's kind of interesting that you actually have to stay away from what would normally, in many events, be considered a very desirable media market.
Possibly. However, this is GA, so the reason why a lot of us get involved is because there is, among the large majority of the population, people don't even realize that there is an airport within 15 to 20 miles of most every place someone is on a given day. I mean that there's usually an airport, a smaller airport, in every community.
Yes.
That someone is completely unaware of. Most people think of the international airports where you would fly a commercial flight. So part of this race, in fact, the marketing behind it is to have more awareness that, hey, your local airport is here, and it plays a large part in your community that you may be unaware of. So there is a marketing advantage there.
All right, let's talk about how you two did. I mean, how did the plane run for you?
The plane was wonderful. We did really well. The first day was incredible. I had flown at speeds that I had never flown before in a single, which was a great challenge. We're focusing on ground speeds in this race, so it's very pertinent that I was very kind to the airplane and making sure that we didn't push the engine so hard that it would redline. But it the first day, for example, is the most exciting, and it gives the best adage as to how we ran the race. Every stop, there were 9 airports involved, and every place you need to do you need to go through and do the flyby in order to have your timing recorded. But you don't necessarily have to land unless your aircraft needs to land for refueling purposes or whatever. So the Cirrus for us was great because it gave us more options. We have an aircraft that has more range and has the speed to get ahead of some weather in some circumstances, or just has the range more than anything to be able to do flybys to continue. Because when you're flying into the airport, the designated stop, you're flying by a timer on the ground that you need to line up with, and also you're timing yourself in the aircraft just in case there might be a mistake, or when multiple aircraft are approaching on one person, they might make a mistake and record someone else's number with your time. In doing that, we decided the first day that we would do a flyby to continue, because you either can fly by to land. So after you do you're flying the timing line, you come back and you land if you wish. We did a flyby to continue on our first day. So our stops, we took off, we were classic number 43, and everyone's engine started at 8 a.m. on the start of the race, which is the 22nd of June, from Fort Myers Page Field. So number one was taking off at about a few minutes past 8. Well, we as Classic racer number 43, we didn't take off until about 9:15 a.m. And it's important to note that because there were other racers that chose to fly the same strategy as we did, which means our first stop was Waycross and then Tuscaloosa. We did the flyby to continue out of Waycross. We were the first aircraft to arrive in Tuscaloosa. Behind us was number 11, and then 20 minutes behind us was number 2. Now, number 11 is the 182RG, which is not as fast as the Cirrus, but it's still a very fast airplane, and the fact that we passed them when they took off about an hour ahead of us was quite remarkable. And also number 2 was an SR-20. Again, a slower aircraft, but still with almost an hour and 20-minute lead on us, it was really remarkable our first day. So we felt good. Our times were very, very strong throughout the race.
Well, that's excellent. Now, how did you do overall among all the teams entered, and how many teams were entered?
Well, there were 51 teams that raced this year, and we, throughout the race, we continued to be in the lead. So we were in the top 10 spot, and funny enough, we had a couple of crew mistakes that took us out of the lead. But otherwise, our numbers placed us as number 2.
That's really encouraging. We need to take a break, but in a moment, let's talk about the financial side of competing. I'm Paul Plack. My guest is Kristen Jern. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack. My guest is ANN Marketing and Sales Director and pilot, Kristen Jern. We're talking about her experience in the Air Race Classic, in which she competed for the third time this year. Let's talk about the financial side of this. You have quite a few sponsors, and they can be seen on your website. What are the major costs involved in entering an event like this, and how hard was it to come up with sponsors?
Well, it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. For us, again, we sort of winning the race or placing in the race was an afterthought. That might sound strange, but every year that I've done this race, I really get involved because we raise monies to support us for the race effort and the promotional side of it in terms of getting the word out there about women in aviation, alerting the public to the value of general aviation, their smaller airports, and the impact in their local communities. This year, and also every year that I've raced, I've always given money back to our local 99's chapter scholarship fund, where every year at least $1,000 is given to a young lady that wants to either obtain her private license or continue her pursuit of another job in aerospace. So we'll be doing that again this year. What was more exciting this year as well is we had the Green Family Foundation that partnered with us along with the Carbon Fund, and we were able to raise monies for the race efforts, but also we're going to be planting 1,000 trees in Haiti for the reforestation efforts. So that was exciting as well. Once you have sort of your mission statement together, and there are sympathetic people in GA that also understand just the importance and the impact that we have on the communities. I mean, for example, in the state of Florida, many people don't realize, but aviation as a whole brings in about $85 billion into the state GDP. And most people don't realize that. It's aviation has a big impact.
Well, what about next year? Are you making plans already, or is this going to? I mean, you've done it
three times. Yes, now. We are making plans. I mean, Maite and I. This is our first race together. It was her first race overall. So the fact that we had an honest second place without some of the mistakes that came along the way with just racing. I think we have a really good standing, and we're considering that. I would love to race the SR20, the Centennial again. We kind of have to see if Mr. Kane would like us to do so. And I'm still coming down from the race, actually. It was a large effort for sponsors. We thank all of our sponsors. We had Dickies come on board, which was responsible. You know, something else we did, and it's important to mention, is it was the 100th anniversary of Licensed Women Pilots. I was looking for a flight suit, and I was having trouble finding a flight suit. My intent was to get one and then perhaps cut them and make them into shorts, because we are traveling across the states in the hottest time period of the year. And I came across Dickies, and I found the dresses. And I thought, why not? Because 100 years ago when these ladies were flying, some of them did fly in dresses. And the dresses were extremely comfortable. Dickies came on board as a sponsor, which was great. We had Banyan and Experience Aviation, Miami Executive, some really great sponsors and people that we certainly want to thank.
Well, we will refer folks to airracechicks.org, and that's chicks spelled without a K, to find out more information on your effort, and all the sponsors are listed there. And Kristen, this is quite an undertaking, and I am impressed, and we wish you all the best in pursuing it again next year.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Paul.
Find more info and photos of Kristen Jern and Maite Greco and their efforts in this year's Air Race Classic at airracechicks.org. That's chicks with no K. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.